us today, because as we heard the testimony this morning, that we all stand in need of help with our insecurities and all the unknowns that there are today in our land. In the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, start reading at verse 32 down through verse 37. 32 through 37, and in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He says, "But to call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyful the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Amen. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Amen. That's some good scripture reading this morning. And Paul was preaching here and teaching us that there are times that after we've known the Lord, that there is problems that's going to come along. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be pain and sorrow that we're going to have to endure. But he said that, you know, even after all of this, that there are those that will laugh at us and make fun of us. And make, you know, he said that we're a gazing stock. People look at us and say, "If you're saved and God is your Lord, why are you going through the things that you're going through? Why hasn't God heard and answered your prayer?" But Paul encouraged them, and I want to encourage you and I myself this morning, that through all of this, even the spoiling of your goods. But he said, as I preached last Sunday in the message, that even though all these things happen, in verse 34, we know that we have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I've got more over there than I've got here. But he said that along this journey, we need to be careful not to cast away our confidence. And that's what I want to use as a text this morning: being confident, not defeated. Being confident, not defeated. Because you see, our confidence is something that we have to hold on to. It's something that many of us have seen how God has moved through the years. And I am persuaded that there is nothing that my God cannot do. But there are times that Satan comes to knock down our confidence. You pray a prayer, and maybe you didn't get the answer you was looking for. But I believe what Paul was saying, go back to the prayer that you prayed that God did answer, and hold on to that confidence. And you say, "But I don't know which prayer I could go back to." How many of you remember the prayer you prayed asking God to save your dying soul? And did he not show up and perform that work in you and I? And today, I've got many other prayers that we have prayed that we can go back to, but Satan tries to come at us and destroy our confidence. In life, we have confidence in the things that we learn and the things that we do. And all it takes is one mishap to break down our confidence. I can do something 10 times and it work out every time that I did it. But if I do it one time after that and it don't work out, my confidence suffers. And when our confidence suffers, more than likely we're going to be defeated. And it don't take much to hurt our confidence, does it? It don't take much at all. You can burn one skillet of food and your confidence is, I don't know if I can do it anymore. Don't give you a reason not to cook, but. And us guys, you know, the things that we do. And I have to be open with you this morning. My confidence varies day by day, hour by hour, event by event. Because we're human. And even though we might have learned, we may have been taught, you let it go wrong one time in your confidence until you build it back up, your confidence suffers. You see, in this flesh, we get too confident. We get too confident. But in the Spirit of God, folks, that there are times that we get behind this pulpit that my confidence is real low. I'm just being open with you this morning. Because you see, whatever we preached about last week and how it was received and how God moved is gone. It's behind me. And today is a new day. And I pray that God will use me, but it's not totally up to God. It's up to me. Put myself out of the way and being confident that even though I may not understand the subject matter or not know how God's going to use it, say, Lord, I trust you because you know what your people need to hear. I don't know everything that's going on in their minds. But you do. Our confidence can be high or it can be low. We can either be victorious or we can be defeated. You know, sometimes I start on something and I come across an obstacle. And how many of you have ever been in that situation? You just throw up your hands and say, just let it go. Leave it alone. I'm not going to fool with it anymore. But you see, I was raised and taught that if you give up, you've already lost. That no matter how big it is and how hard it might be, if you stay with it, you can be victorious. And I am confident, sometimes overly confident. Anybody else have overconfidence sometimes? Because Satan will allow your head to swell real big. And you think, look what I've done. And then you trip over a little line and fall flat on your face. Look what a mistake you are. You see, in life, there are things that can affect our confidence in our Christian life as well. You affect your confidence. I affect my confidence. You see, I tried to build up people's confidence. I like to tell people, you sang good today. I like to tell people you did a good job. And I'm not as complimentary as I should be. But people need to hear when they've done good. I try to do that with these kids and these young people when they're doing good in school. I think we ought to pat them on the back and say, I'm proud of you. When they're doing good in life, I think we ought to pat them on the back and say, I'm proud of you. When things are going good, it's easy to be confident. But when things turn upside down, our confidence begins to fall. And we began to say, Lord, what have I done? that this is coming against me at this time. And we're not unique. We go back to the Bible in 1 Kings and Elijah. Look how his confidence was strong. One day he prayed fire down from heaven. And then got afraid of a woman named Jezebel. Or he said, I'll stand here all by myself, not knowing God will never let you stand by yourself. Hallelujah. Ron, you're not by yourself this morning. Beck, you're not by yourself. And I could go around the house this morning, and how many of you are going through some dark times right now and your confidence is low? I want you to know this morning, you are not by yourself. God is with you. And he's walking every step, and I believe he's trying to encourage little old Gavin playing baseball, and he really don't know how to play baseball because he's too young. He's not been introduced to it. But he's out there, and he hits the ball, and he wants to run to third instead of going to first. But we try to give him confidence, Emerson, and say, keep it up. Keep hitting the ball. You'll get there. We try to build up people's confidence. But the Bible tells us that we ought not think more of ourselves than we ought. Amen. Sometimes I am confident when I get behind this pulpit, Brother Lloyd, that because God allows the scriptures to come to my mind and they just flow. And my confidence is built up. But there are times when I get up and I can't even remember John 3:16. Because, you see, in ourselves, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Some of you want to worship this morning. We have to watch ourselves and not allow, you know, sometimes we are our worst enemy. Look what a mistake I've made. Does anybody else talk to yourself? Yeah, I heard that. They used to say it was all right to talk to yourself just as long as you don't answer. But sometimes I even answer myself. So I must really be gone. But if you think that I'm strange, y'all look around us this morning. We're in good company. Amen? And I wouldn't trade it for the world. Wouldn't trade it for the world. So we affect our own confidence. I said here many months ago, probably years ago now, that I come to church and, you know, running late can affect your confidence. And I'm going to move quickly. But I came on that Sunday or Wednesday night and I said it like this. I got up to preach and reached in my pocket for my handkerchief and it wasn't there. And it just affected my confidence. And I said it like this. I said, I know I ironed it and I laid it there, but I must not have put it in my pocket. And you know what? That affects us. It just, you know, one thing can just bring you down. I am preaching the truth, ain't I? Others can affect your confidence. Lloyd mentioned Nehemiah. You know, here they are out there working on that wall in Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. And here comes the enemy. And the enemy is looking at that wall that they're building and said, my goodness, if a fox was to walk on it, it'd fall down. Oh. But I believe Nehemiah said, it may not look much, but it's built according to the plan of God. And if God builds it, man cannot destroy it. Others come against us and say, if your God is real, why are your people suffering the way they are? And it's real simple this morning, because not only does others affect our confidence, but Satan comes to tear down our confidence. He comes to tear it down and say it like this, that God doesn't hear your prayers. Or to tell you that you've not been saved. You're just going through emotions. Or to even come and tell us, look what a miserable failure you are as a Christian. And you say, does he tell you that? Folks, there's times my confidence is high, and then there's times that I don't even know how to tie my shoes. Anybody else there this morning going to help the preacher? You see, sometimes I think I'm doing a pretty good job, and then other times I look at my life and I say, I'm a failure. I'm a failure at the job. I'm a failure as a father, as a husband, as a preacher, as a pastor. I'm just a failure. But then I feel the presence of God, and he says, yeah, but you're my failure. And I'm going to take a failure and make a trophy out of him with what I can do with his life. See, I say to others, people come against us, Brother Eli, to tear down our confidence. Say, you know, you're nothing, you're poor, you're and I'm just trying to find the right words to say this morning, but I said it a few weeks ago that you're just a poor person. You can't dress, you can't act, you can't eat, you can't drive, you can't live where everybody else does. You live in the shanties or you live in the trailer park, and it tears down your confidence. But then God comes by and says, but yes, but I'm going to raise out of that rubble a child that is mine, that I can be proud of, that I'm going to allow to stand and declare my word and see people get right with God and see people get saved and see people encouraged by this nobody. Because you see, God didn't call the wisest of men, the most noble, the most educated. But he called those that he could build up. Take us from nothing, Ray, and make us into what we are today. How many of you know today that without God, you would not be where you are this morning? Without God. Oh, some of you ought to feel like shouting on Sunday morning. Because he gives us confidence. Gives us confidence. And not only that, but events can affect our confidence. Sickness can affect our confidence. People that's battling with cancer, people that's battling with dreaded diseases, their confidence is low. And how they, you know, medical science and the profession will tell you that in a lot of sicknesses, how you look at it is going to determine the outcome. If you say, I give up, you might just be a goner. But again, I'm going to use Sister Mary, battling through cancer, but yet she was confident. We were confident. Can I get an amen in the house? We were confident God is going to take care of it. Some of you are battling things right now. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. Let me tell you, you've got a church and a God that loves you, cares for you, and is lifting you up before the Lord. And I am confident. I'm confident this morning that no matter what the devil brings against us, we will be victorious, and we're going to march in Zion with a song of joy upon our hearts. The loss of a job can affect your confidence. And people say, why you bring these things up? Many things that happen to us in life affects our confidence in the church. It's hard to come in joyful when you're broken by the world and the events happening in your life. It's hard to come in here, Lord, and shout when inside there's so much worry and fear and concern. But folks, I come to preach to us this morning what God laid on my heart. That no matter what life throws at us, God will make a way. I'm confident. God will make a way, some way or another. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And He told us in His Word that over just a few chapters, He tells us to come boldly, to come confidently before the throne of God. And you know, I can hear those confident prayers when they're being offered up. You know, He says in His Word that if we pray to God with doubt, we're going to be defeated. Or we say, I hope God will take care of this. I know that when we pray, if we will say, Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God's way, God's will be done. I am confident in that. Because we serve an almighty God that has an ear for our prayers. If we pray confidently, He will hear our prayers and will answer them. But sometimes we don't pray the right way. I hope, I wish. It's not the way we ought to pray. We ought to pray, Lord, I come before You as Your child, and I am looking for You to move in this situation, that Your will would be done. And you say, but you pray for somebody that is sick and they die. Did God answer your prayer? Yes. You know why? Because He took them out of this world of pain and sorrow and took them home to be with Him where there is no more pain or sorrow. We pray, God, give them a new body. He says, I'll answer that prayer right now. And He takes them home and we say, what happened? You know what He did? He gave them a brand new body. Be careful how we pray. And then we look at our people, and let me go back to when, you know, our confidence. How many of you have ever went to sing a song, and in your mind the devil is saying, they don't want to hear you, right? How many of you ever went to testify, and the devil will tell you, they don't want to hear you, that same old prayer request over and over and over. You know what I say? The devil is a liar. He's trying to destroy you. Knock down your confidence. And sometimes even us as preachers, the devil will say, they don't want to hear you. They don't want to hear you. They've heard everything you've ever had to say. You've got nothing new to tell them. I say, thank God. I've got the same old story. The same story that's been told year after year after year. And oh, this story never gets old. It builds up my confidence. Right now, I feel like I could almost walk on water. I know I can't. But you know what? If the Lord said walk, Peter did it. Did he not? Do you think Peter had that power within himself? No, because when his confidence began to wane low, he began to sink. But as long as his confidence wasn't in him, but it was in God, he was able to walk on the water. You see, I got a good testimony of somebody, because we sometimes say, I just don't know if God will. You got to go back to the book of Daniel and read what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They was facing a fiery furnace. The king said heated up once 7 times hotter than it ever been. And they looked at these 3 boys who were exiles. They were prisoners. They were eunuchs that they had brought to serve the king. They looked at him confidently and said, we don't know if our God will. You say, that don't sound like confidence. We don't know if he will, but we know he can. Oh, let that permeate your soul this morning. I don't know if he will, but I know he is able. That builds up my confidence today. People could go through that and still facing death and be confident God is going to take care of them. God says to us, when our confidence is low, lift up your head. Be confident. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. And I hear the cook sing that song from years gone by. When we do that, we can be confident. And I hear a great band of angels. It's almost shouting time. Because we pray, we've looked to the hill, and here comes that rock rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of this world. It wasn't a physical rock. It was our rock. And church, in this pandemic time, let me tell you, he's done it before and he can do it again. I kid about Cecil's fat face mask there. But you know, it don't matter who's in the White House. God can turn things around quicker than anybody else can. And like nobody else can, he can fix you, he can fix me, and we can lift up our head and be confident that it's all going to be okay. Let me find a closing place. In the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, so that we might come boldly, confidently before the throne of God. You got something on your heart this morning? Give it to the Lord with confidence. Give it to him. And while Robin Sharon gets us a song of invitation this morning, and you say, but Roger, we got to maintain 6 feet. You come, I'll stay away from you 6 feet, but I'll pray with you and we will be united as one through the Spirit of God in this prayer. Come on, Sharon and Rob. Paul said it like this to the Philippian church in Philippians 4 and 13. I am confident. You say, Roger, he didn't say that. I believe he was saying it like that, Charlie. I am confident that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. Yeah. It might look bad, but I know that with the help of God, there's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low. No river too wide that we can't cross through and be victorious. But if you don't have the confidence, you'll be defeated. You know, it's like Brother Lloyd and some of these other fellas go fishing. If you put it on your mind, I ain't gonna catch nothing when I go fishing, you know what? You probably ain't going to catch nothing. Yeah. I've gone before and used everything that I had in the tackle box and still not caught anything. And you know what happens if you go and you don't catch anything? it doesn't give you much hope of going back. Right? People go to church Sunday after Sunday and they leave as broken as they went. It doesn't give you much confidence to go back. And really, as I say that, you can't blame anybody but yourself. If your confidence is low in God and in the church and all the workings, and you're seeing people around you get blessed, God working in their life, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Because the devil will tell you, you've prayed that prayer 100 times. Why are you going to go back and pray it again? You know, because the 101st time might be the time that God says, like he did that judge did that woman, because of your perseverance, because you keep coming, I'm going to answer that prayer. Right? So you can move on. Get your confidence up. And you know, you cannot have confidence in God and in your Christian life by just Sunday morning. You've got to have more than just Sunday morning. People say, you're a religious fanatic. No, I'm not. I'm a God fanatic. Religion will take you to hell. God will take you to heaven. And you can rest assured, if I'm in a vehicle or if I'm somewhere and there's a radio on, it's not on secular stuff. Secular stuff, it encourages this man, this outward man, and encourages them, some of this stuff encourages them to do things that they ought not do. Amen? I don't know if you've heard some of this music. You say, you listen to secular stuff. How did you hear it? Well, I'm a man also. And last night we was at a reception. They played some of that stuff. And, you know, some of it, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. But then they played some of that old stuff. And I said, hey, I know that. See, I was confident. And Becky made mention of one of our grandchildren. She said, I guess it was Therese, like that old stuff, because you can understand what they're saying. And it's not filled with filth, smut, and language that is unspeakable. Amen? You see, we need confidence in a non-confident world. People are running in panic. What happens? You know, can I just be blunt? If we get COVID, we get it. I mean, and if we get it, there's less than 1% chance that we're going to die from it. You say, are you telling us to take off your mask? No, the governor told you got to wear it. I'm not above the governor, but I serve a God that's bigger than the governor and the president and all the kings and potentates around the world. You say, how much longer are we going to have to go with this? Let me close with this. Has not all the events of this year affected your confidence? And I believe with all my heart, not being in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it affects our spiritual confidence. Amen? It affects it because we're not together. We're not praying. We're not worshiping together. We're not helping each other. We're a bunch of Catholics. One service, once a week. Only difference is we don't have the wine and the bread to give you every time you come. Right? This morning, how is your confidence? You're either confident or you're defeated. While we stand and sing a verse of a song. Bring it to the Lord this morning and ask God for the help that you need and I need. Bring me every care. Yes. Anybody else this morning? Be honest with yourself and with God. Our confidence just isn't where it ought to be. Bless that one. Yes. We've given up when we ought to be trusting in God. Yes. I hear the scripture to say it like this, and Roger's paraphrasing. I am confident that neither death nor life, nor powers nor principalities shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I'm confident in that. I'm confident what I have submitted unto God, God is able to keep against that day. I'm confident that when I take my last breath on this side of the river, I'm going to a place called heaven. If I wasn't confident in that, I'd find an altar and call upon the Lord to save my soul. I'm confident that there is no sickness that our God cannot heal if it's in His will. And I'm confident that God wants to save every sinner, no matter what the skin color is. And this may not sit well with some. No matter how deep in sin that they have trod, God is able to save them if they have not sinned away their days of grace and been turned over to a hardness of heart and reprobate mind. In fact, I just want to put it to you like this. I'm confident that nothing is impossible for my God. Amen. Confident. We're either confident or we're defeated. There's no in-between ground. No in-between ground. You're either confident or you're defeated. And what applies in our spiritual life also affects in our natural life. I see some of these kids that are just defeated because of what they say about them at school, or how they're picked on, or maybe because they are a little behind their classmates. This world is cruel. And for you that are young, you think, well, when we get older, we won't have to worry about it. It's as cruel when you're older as it is when you're young. It's a cruel world. That's why I need a haven of rest that I can come to in God, my Lord, and my Savior. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord this morning? Is your confidence any higher? Because we ought to walk out here with our heads held high. Not that we are anything, but He that lives in me is God of gods, Lord of lords, and King of kings. And there is no God like Him today. God bless you this morning. Let's remember one another. Remember these that are having tests. Remember Beck, she's got to have blood work tomorrow. And then she's facing a heart catheterization. And I don't know what they're going to do about that embolism. But let's remember her in your prayers. Remember Brother Ott, that's still, he's making progress, but he's still struggling. And all these others that's had, I don't put these two above anybody, but let's remember David and Jennifer and June that's struggling with that. In fact, how many of you are not struggling with something? All right. Now let's remember each other then. Amen. Oh, I didn't even look at that. Yes. Glenn and Ruby had an anniversary this past week, and today is Natalie's birthday. Yes. And Wednesday is Ron and Sharon's 48th anniversary. Don't forget it, Ron. So let's sing happy birthday to little Natalie. Is that all right? Y'all ain't got nowhere to go.